Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Guess who's back? Still doing that Andre? Oh, for sure. Yeah.
A Saturday in the A. It is the debut of the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Loaded show today. We're with you for the next 3 hours. The phone number to be a part of the show is 404-741-0929. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can hit me up on Twitter at Nick Kale. Dylan Matthews is my producer. He's the chairman of the board. Mr. Matthews, how are you?
Pretty good, man. What's going on with you, bud?
I'm good, ready to roll. I am getting some feedback of myself in my ear. If we could quickly adjust that, that'd be good. But other than that, good show today. We got a lot on tap for you. Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL Insider, NFL Network. He'll join us in less than 20 minutes. Mike Griffith coming up in hour number two. But let me start here. Falcons versus Seahawks, Sunday week one. We're just about a day away, a little under a day, until kickoff. And there's a couple of things I want to throw out regarding the Falcons, and I want to start with the head coach, Dan Quinn. So you want to prove that Dan Quinn is the guy. Dan Quinn wants to prove to the city, not just to me, but to all of you, that last year's 6-2 second half of the finish of the season wasn't a fluke. Well, if that is the case, then you need to beat Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. I said this on Monday when I was with Willie P filling in for Dukes and Bell on Labor Day, that this is a must-win game. And some people might not want to go that far. Well, how can you say that, Nick? It's a 16-game season. But if you want to show us that you're more like the 6-2 Falcons squad that we saw in the second half and not the 1-7 squad in the first half, this is a game you need to win. Show us that it wasn't fool's gold. Win a game in your own building as a home underdog, and give Atlanta its first winning record at any point since 2017. Yes, let me repeat that again. The first winning record at any point for your Atlanta Falcons since 2017. That's what a win against Seattle will do. And since the Super Bowl meltdown, the Falcons are 24-24. They are literally the definition of a 500 team. Average in any high-level profession gets you terminated. That's a fact of life. You could be average doing a 9-to-5, making $15 an hour. You can be average in any other line of work. But when you are paid bukus of dollars, you don't last being average. You just don't. It's too much money at stake, and people are all about now, now, now. They want the immediacy. They want winning right away. So we will find out quickly, I think, if Dan Quinn truly deserved to come back and coach this team in 2020. 6-2, great finish. Thomas Dimitroff, great offseason with A.J. Terrell, Marlon Davidson in the draft, Gurley, Hurst, Fowler, in free agency. Atlanta had a really nice offseason. The front office, Thomas Dimitroff, general manager, those guys put Dan Quinn in a position to succeed. Now DQ needs to do that. Let's actually listen to the head coach. Here is Dan Quinn when he was asked what concerns him most just before the game starts.
You know, a lot about, you know, the turnover margin, Jeff. And so for some players, and this year in particular, not a lot of people have tackled, you know, full speed. And so the kind of hitting and the tackling, you've done the drill work, you've done some tackling at practice, but not on the regular basis. So I would say usually in the turnover margin, that's one that I think it's full speed tackling, full speed of that space. And so that's one of them that I generally look at. Usually it's, you know, ball and, you know, third down and takeaways. And if you even look at last night's game, you know, Kansas City won the turnover margin, they won the third down margin, and so field position they won. And so when those things start getting in alignment, you give yourself a chance to play well. But I would say the turnover margin and tackling, those are at the, you know, the front of my thinking most years, and I would say probably more so in 2020.
That was Falcons head coach Dan Quinn on what concerns him most going into this game. Now, I think, secondly, we're going to know in four games max if Dan Quinn coming back was the right decision in 2020. Why do you ask that? Well, the answer to me is very simple. Look at what you have in this season, just right out of the gate in the first four games. Week one, Russell Wilson comes to town. Second best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion, behind Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes one, Wilson two, Lamar Jackson three, Deshaun Watson four, are probably the four best young quarterbacks I would take over the next 5 to 10 years moving forward. So you get Russell Wilson right out of the gate. He's a boss. Pete Carroll, legit coach. Going to be a tough one. There's a reason why the Falcons are 2.5-point home underdog. And then it gets even more difficult. You got to go on the road to Jerry's Palace in Dallas and take on Dak Prescott. You got a guy in Dak Prescott who is seeking mega money. We've seen Mahomes get paid. We've seen Watson get paid. Dak's looking for a payday. Oh, and by the way, kudos to Dak Prescott for publicly talking about the battles he's fought and the battles he's overcome with depression. And shame on that punk Skip Bayless for taking issue with it. Well, you're supposed to be the quarterback of a group of grown men. Bah, get over it, Skip. Some things are bigger than football. Week four, you got to go to Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, by the way, he won't say it, but you know number 12 is feeling a bit disrespected by the fact that his front office drafted his successor in Jordan Love. And Matt LaFleur is tinkering with Aaron Rodgers' offense and possibly Aaron Rodgers' future. So for the Falcons, in my opinion, this is a must-win for Dan Quinn. And I think we will, without a doubt, know after the first quarter of the season if DQ coming back this year was the right decision made by the Falcons. Seattle, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Dallas, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers. All three of those teams could very well be playoff teams this year. Two of which wouldn't surprise me if they got to the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl, that being Seattle and Green Bay. I don't think Dallas is that great, but Dallas is certainly a playoff contender. I think you need to win two of those three games. Week two against the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, you better win that game. You should win that game. But I would love to see this Falcons team win two of three against Seattle, Green Bay, and Dallas. If you can beat Seattle in your building and then beat the Bears and split against Dallas and Green Bay on the road, I think Falcons fans, you should feel ecstatic. Without a doubt. 404-741-0929 is the number. 404-741-0929. Let me quickly bring in my producer, Dylan Matthews, because we were chatting before the show, and I think the Falcons are going to be battling for that seventh seed, that additional third wild card that is now available to you this year. Whereas Dylan, I'll let you speak, man. You're more optimistic than I am.
Yeah, I think honestly, people are asleep on the Falcons. I think we're going to be better than a lot of people think. Like, we got Todd Gurley, who is running like a man on a mission this year. He's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder, and I think a lot of – he's going to – he's going to prove a lot of people wrong this season. And this defense, that back end scares me a little bit. Yes, it does. But we got Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, if he stay healthy. DeMonte KZ is a ball hawk. We got some playmakers in the backfield who A.J. Terrell, Kendall Sheffield when he gets healthy, even Isaiah Oliver. They are guys who can learn from Rico, who can learn from Keanu Neal, even though he's been hurt. He can still teach these guys and show these guys, you know, what needs to be done in the backfield. So Rico can get those guys together, you know, because he's kind of the leader of the defense, gets everybody together. And Dante Fowler Jr., I think, is going to be a big staple. He's going to help out Grady a lot with causing some pressure. You know, I think Dante Fowler Jr. is going to see some double teams, and that's going to open things up for Grady, or maybe even vice versa. So I think, and we already know what the Falcons are on offense. So I think the Falcons are really just going to surprise a lot of people this year. And I think, honestly, I'm going to be straight up, I think they're going to fight for the division this year.
All right. I love the optimism. I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. You alluded to Todd Gurley right out of the gate there. Let's actually hear from the Falcons head coach. Here is Dan Quinn talking about getting Todd Gurley to pay dirt.
It's that ability for him to find the end zone. He's just got such a knack when it gets closer, and whether it's a long run that gets there or a shorter run that gets there, the closer it gets, it seems like the stronger that he plays. And he's a lot bigger man than you would think. And when you're around him, you know, say, okay, I can see why he's such a, you know, why he scored so many times. So he's had a fantastic camp. He's really ready to get it rocking. And he's made a big impact on his new teammates.
That was Dan Quinn talking about Falcons running back Todd Gurley. And as Dylan said, he thinks they're going to be 10-6, contend for the division. So on that note, really quickly, let me spin it to a positive and ask you the question, is the national media sleeping on the Falcons? Again, I'm on record 8-8. I don't think Dan Quinn was the guy to be brought back, but I hope I'm wrong. But think about this, about being slept on. And this is, you know, the national media, and maybe even some people locally. You got a Hall of Fame to be quarterback. You got the best wide receiver in the NFL for the last 7 or 8 years. Maybe Antonio Brown could have had that record, could have had that label, but he went cuckoo. The running back returns home to prove doubters he's not shot, Todd Gurley. Coach, desperate to prove this was the right decision. Game changer at defensive tackle in Grady Jarrett. An offensive line that should be improved, assuming there's chemistry, there's cohesion, and there's communication in year two. A modern-day sideline-to-sideline linebacker that can be on the field all three downs in Deion Jones. A.J. Terrell could be a very, well, I don't know if there's a true lockdown corner in football anymore with the way the game's officiated, but A.J. Terrell could very well be a number one corner. Keanu Neal, if he can stay healthy. And yet zero love, even as a 7 seed, even as a wild card, even after a 6-2 finish in the last 8 games last year. So they've got star power, they've got momentum, and yet it's kind of crickets nationally on the Falcons. 404-741-0929 is the number. You can also use the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or send me a tweet at Nick Kale. That's K-A-Y-A-L. I do want to get a lot of Falcons calls coming up at 440. So if you listen to the open of the show, you want to weigh in. I know we got John on the line. He wants to chime in. We'll get to that coming up in about 25 minutes. So if you want to jump in and secure your spot right now, do so. 404-741-0929. But coming up next, one guy that I don't believe there's a man on this planet that watches more film than Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL analyst and NFL Network insider. Baldy will join us next. See if he agrees with me on the Falcons as well as the NFC South. We'll talk a little shop with Brian Baldinger from Radio.com and the NFL Network next. It's the Nick Kale Show. Great to have you in here on a Saturday on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. 422, welcome back into the Nick Kale Show. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Florida State leading Georgia Tech 7-0. James Blackman looking good on the opening drive. We'll keep you updated throughout that game as we go along here today. And we will go out to the WadeFord.com hotline in just a moment. We have Brian Baldinger, but he just dropped off. Cell phone reception still can be occasionally spotty in 2020. College football off to a wild day. North Carolina, solid win, although they were struggling against Syracuse. So a couple of upsets in the Big 12. Kansas State goes down to Arkansas State. And Louisiana Lafayette was an 11.5-point underdog. And they go into Iowa State and knock off Brock Purdy, Matt Campbell, and the Cyclones 31-14. So two Big 12 teams with home losses today as double-digit home favorites. Maybe the Big 12 should have just joined the Big 10 and the Pac-12 and said, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't play. Let's just leave it up to the SEC and the ACC. So we'll talk to Brian Baldinger in just a moment as soon as we – okay, we do have him back. All right. WadeFord.com hotline we go. Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL insider. You can follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Hashtag Baldy Breakdowns. And Baldy is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into 10 grand at radio.com/picks to sign up. Baldy, happy Saturday. How are you, sir? Good to talk with you.
Hey, Nick, I'm good, man. It's good to hear your voice, buddy.
Okay, I do not have Baldy in my ear.
Yeah, I'm right here, Nick.
Hello? Dylan, do we have him?
Yeah.
No, all I have is myself in my ear now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Baldy, do we got you?
Nick, I hear you loud and clear, buddy.
All right, brother, I got you now. Sorry for the technical difficulties. So let me ask you right out of the gate here, because I remember in 2011, the Philadelphia Eagles started poor, and they were the dream team. It was a lot of hype, and they were awful. But they finished the season strong. They gave Andy Reid kind of a stay of execution, and he got one more year in 2012, and that was also a failure. It proved to be fool's gold. Fast forward to last year, the Falcons in 2019, they start 1-7, finish strong, and Dan Quinn gets another crack at it. Is this deja vu 8 years later, or do you think Dan Quinn's really figured this out?
Well, there is one other similarity between that Eagle team. Nick, if you remember, Andy Reid that year made Juan Castillo, moved him from the offensive line coach who had left, and brought him back as a defensive coordinator. And that was the disaster. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, last year when they finally put Raheem Morris after their bye week back at defensive coordinator instead of coaching Julio Jones with wide receivers, their defense fixed a lot of their back-end issues, and they played a lot better. In fact, they went to New Orleans the first week, and they kept Drew Brees out of the end zone, and really, they looked like a different football team. That, along with getting the two first-round picks, Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, healthy on the offensive line, and they looked really good in December last year. So those two things in combination, I think the Falcons look like a much better team. So to answer your question, I think the Falcons are more of the 6-2 finish than that awful 1-7 start.
I, as well as the rest of the 404, certainly hope you are correct. Brian Baldinger is joining us. So, Baldy, Dan Quinn, last week, the Falcons put out their official depth chart. And for whatever it's worth, they labeled their base defense as a 4-2-5. What does that tell you about what Dan Quinn wants to do schematically? And what does it tell you about his personnel?
Well, most teams, Nick, are, you know, what he's doing is he's putting his starting nickel out there. Most teams are an 11 personnel team, three wide receivers and a tight end. Kansas City was the entire night the other night. Most teams play 11 personnel, and you're going to match up in a 4-2-5. So, but, you know, even a team like Pittsburgh, I mean, they got a base 3-4 defense. They have a nose tackle, but they're rarely ever in it. You got to run them into it. You know, if you're running the ball down Pittsburgh's throat, they'll go to their base defense. And that's basically most teams in the league right now. So, look, you know, Seattle will be in largely 11 personnel, I imagine, tomorrow. So, I mean, that's all he's doing is he's putting that personnel to match what most teams are putting out there right now.
Brian Baldinger, Radio.com, NFL Network, the world-famous Baldy Breakdowns on Twitter, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Baldy, I'm not expecting a ton from Todd Gurley. It feels like he's one of the older 25-year-olds that I can recall. We know the knee injuries and whether he's got an arthritic knee and all that. But, I mean, I would gladly take 15 carries and 60, 65 yards a week as long as he's a double-digit red zone guy and can cap off drives and help the Falcons no longer settle for three and punch it in for six. What's your expectation for Todd Gurley this year?
Well, I have higher expectations than that. I mean, their offensive line was awful last year. They ended up starting two rookies at the end of the season that weren't very good. They had a new center, a new left guard. I mean, they just never really got to see. Aaron Cromer was a good offensive line coach. And they couldn't keep anybody healthy, and they weren't very good up front. And I just think if you give them a much better offensive line, I mean, Dirk Cotter has said, Alex Mack has said this all season, Nick, that they got to get back to running the zone stretch. I mean, if you can't run the zone stretch play in this league, you're just not going to be a very good offense. That's the foundation to what the Rams did. That's what the Falcons did under Kyle Shanahan. That's what Dirk Cotter wants to get back to. That's when Matt Ryan was the best quarterback in the league in 2016 and the MVP of the league. And that's really Todd Gurley's best play. And the Falcons are more than capable of running it and running it well. I expect Todd Gurley at the end of the year, Nick, to have 1,200-plus yards, you know, rushing the football. And if you throw in, you know, a dozen touchdowns with that, I'd say that'd be a that'd have been a good signing for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, people, if you're listening, take Baldy's advice, make a trade in your fantasy league. Try to scoop up Todd Gurley and acquire him because he's going to go for 1,200, which would be fantastic. Let me ask you this. Speaking of, you know, the offensive line and certainly the defensive line, they drafted Marlon Davidson. We know Thomas Dimitroff has been able to draft well on the perimeter. The Falcons have a lot of skill on the outside. You're a man who made a career out of playing in the trenches. Are the Falcons just physically strong enough and tough enough on both sides of the ball up the interior?
Well, I mean, I question whether Vic Beasley was a good draft pick. We're still waiting on Tack McKinley to show up every week. I mean, those were high first-round picks, Nick, and I wouldn't say that they have been worth that to this point. They play a different style. I mean, Dan Quinn is a penetrating style of defense. He wants to beat you with quickness. They're a little undersized, but they want to beat you, with negative plays. Quarterback hits, tackle for losses. I mean, that's what they're built upon. And it starts with their defensive front. So they've got, Grady Jarrett can play that style. That's who he is. But they do have to get better on the interior, period, and more disruptive than what they have been all the way around. I mean, they're a front four built defense, and they're magic. And when they play well, the front four plays well. And they got to get back to that style of football. That's why Dante Fowler Jr. was there. That's why they drafted Marlon Davidson, although I hear he might not play tomorrow. But he was a good player at Auburn. I mean, I don't understand this. He never missed a game at Auburn, and he might miss the opener. So it's a mystery to me how that something like that happens.
Baldy, one more on the Falcons, and then we'll get to the division as a whole. You know, I'm reading a lot of stuff with college football about some coaches that are on the hot seat on Saturdays might be given sort of a mulligan due to COVID-19 and the unprecedented pandemic we're in and the circumstances being more different than ever. Do you think that would apply to a guy like Dan Quinn or any coach in the NFL that enters this year on the hot seat?
No. No, I think if the Falcons win 6 games that they'll make a change. You know, I mean, they've got to show massive improvement this year. They got to be in a playoff hunt. In fact, they probably have to get to playing in January, I think. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. Not giving anybody a mulligan in this league. If there's coaches out there that are expected to win, I don't care if it's Mike McCarthy in Dallas, they might give these first-year coaches, Matt Rhule will certainly have a couple of years to put it together. I think Kevin Stefanski will have a few years for sure. But, the coaches out there right now, Doug Marrone, Dan Quinn, I mean, if they don't show some improvement this year, real improvement, then I think you're going to see your share of coaching changes.
All right, let's wrap it up and look at the NFC South. Obviously, the Saints, many people believe, are the front runners. Tom Brady and the Bucks, a lot of hype, a lot of attention. They should certainly be a good team. The Falcons, don't seem to get a ton of attention. But I look even at a team like Carolina. All Teddy Bridgewater does is win games as a starter. I mean, he might not be flashy and put up fantasy numbers, but he's a winner. And Matt Rhule has won at every stop along the way in his coaching journey. How do you view this division from top to bottom, and is it one of the better divisions in football?
Well, it's really early, Nick, because, we haven't seen anything. Now, I went to Carolina. I saw Matt Rhule's practice. I mean, if you just took your four biggest playmakers – on a team, and you said, okay, my four biggest playmakers at Carolina are Christian McCaffrey. All right, he's probably everyone's number one pick in their fantasy league, for whatever that's worth. You took Robbie Anderson, who can run by anybody in this league, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel, and you put a 4x100 relay team out there. They might be as fast as any four in the league. They've got speed and experience. With Teddy Bridgewater, like you said, only 5-0 last year with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, the Raiders have their hands full tomorrow. And I've talked to Matt throughout this process. He just wants to evaluate something. You know, he doesn't know what to expect really tomorrow. A lot of teams don't. But he's got time there. I mean, he will get that turned around. I don't know what the record's going to be. And really, I expect a lot from the Bucs. I think Tampa Bay should be good. I mean, Tom Brady's bringing 20 years of experience. It's not like he's going to slow play this thing. He wants to come out and put the ball in the end zone now. And he's having more fun, I think, than he's ever had. So he's thinking about another ring. And so is Gronk. And I think Bruce Arians is thinking like that. They've got a good front seven. They're more than capable of going to New Orleans and winning tomorrow. But, you know, the Saints are the favorite. They don't really have a weakness. They were able to win without Drew Brees last year, five games. That's kind of tells you what kind of team they are, mm-hmm. that they're not dependent, you know, and Alvin Kamara got hurt last year, missed time. I mean, they were without their best players for a period of time, and they still, you know, won a bunch of games. So it's a tough division all the way around. It's a very tough division.
Baldy, you're the best. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
You got it, Nick. Anytime, buddy. Good talking to you.
You got it. There he is, the Radio.com NFL Insider, host on the NFL Network. Brian Baldinger. He's brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. $10,000 at stake. I don't know about you guys, but I could use 10 Gs. Radio.com/picks to sign up. We'll come back. Open up the phones, 404-741-0929. Your thoughts and reaction to everything on the Falcons we've discussed here in the first hour. We'll take your calls on what I had to say, what Baldy has had to say. And also, besides some of the phone calls, there's four tiers of NFL teams. Where are the Falcons? I'll delve into that next, right here on the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Download the Radio.com app and take us with you wherever you go.
Just go!
Catch up on the latest Atlanta sports, no matter where you are. If Atlanta sports matter to you,
get the Radio.com app and never miss a thing.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
442, welcome back in the Cale Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Radio.com app. As we'll get to your phone calls coming up in just 1 second, because I want this show to be interactive. I've always thought sports radio is a two-way street. You know, if you read newspaper columns, I know newspapers don't really exist anymore, but you know, you read columns back in the day, it's kind of like a one-way street, right? The guy's just writing, he's just talking at you. I don't want to talk at you, I want to talk with you and have a conversation. We will not fill this show up with guests and try to bail out the easy way. So it's me, it's you, and the number is 404-741-0929. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So let's get your Falcons calls in here as we wrap up the first hour of the show. John in Douglasville is first up here on 92.9 The Game. What's going on today, John?
Not much. I just wanted to first call. I disagree with your comment about not bringing Dan Quinn back.
Okay.
If you look at last year, that 1-7 could have easily been 4-4 if Matt Bryan didn't cost us at least three games. I think the kicker cost us. So we'll say that. But that team had every reason to quit last year at 1-7. Every reason. And no one would have complained. But for them to all say, we're fighting for our coach, and for them to show up the way they did the back half of that schedule, you have to bring a coach back like that because he's your culture. He's your environment. You can't bring another coach in and think that the brotherhood is still here if this team believes in that. So I totally disagree with not bringing Dan Quinn back.
John, I'm with you on the heart and I'm with you on the fight because you're right. They could have picked up their ball and went home and closed up shop and they didn't. They get kudos for that. But in the NFL and in really any big boy sport, I can't look at should have been 4-4. There's no column in the NFL next to wins and losses and division record that says should have been because of the quarterback or because of the kicker shanking a field goal. Like the NFL is about wins and losses. That's the way I view it.
And that's fine. I mean, but just like people say, I had an argument with a guy the other day that said Drew Brees is not a choker because he has a Super Bowl from 2009. So all the choking he's been doing all these years afterwards, it don't count because he got a Super Bowl. He can't be considered a choker. So wins and losses don't mean anything if you don't win the Super Bowl every year and what people, the way people lay it out with NFL. But to say that a kicker who cost you at least two games, I could say the kicker cost you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on Brees. I'm with you on Brees from a standpoint. Appreciate the call. I mean, Drew Brees, as good as he's been the last couple of years, before that, they had like three straight 7-9 seasons. Now, all of that wasn't on Drew Brees. I mean, it's a 53-man roster, But Drew Brees, you're right, going on 11 years without a Super Bowl. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers, going on a decade without a Super Bowl. 404-741-0929. Darrell in Decatur, up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Darrell?
Hello?
Darrell?
Yes, yes, yes. I had I wanted to comment on what you said about the media sleeping on the Falcons. Yes, yep. I believe the media is sleeping on the Falcons, but I believe they should. The Falcons have something to prove this year. Nobody cares about half of a season. You know, I'm not going to talk about a half of a season 10 years from now. To me, in my opinion, at least bare minimum, in Dan Quinn's mind, this has to be a Super Bowl or bust year. Has to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say Super Bowl or bust because you have to have the expectation of getting to the Super Bowl. And I don't think even the most diehard Falcon fan would say, we're a Super Bowl contender. If you believe that, I mean, you need a little bit of help. But I would say this. You can't go from being up 28-3 in a Super Bowl to a few years later saying, you know what, that second half of the season at 6-2, that was pretty impressive. That's setting the standard and the bar awfully low.
Right.
All right, man. I appreciate the call, Darrell. Thanks for checking in. 404-741-0929. Lawrenceville, we go. Jeff is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What up, Jeff?
Yes, I'm calling. I'm going to hit it real quick. Matt Ryan's not ever going to go anywhere, whether people like him or not. He's, as I've been told on more than one occasion, is married into the Arthur Blank family, daughter, niece, whatever. The other thing is the team is never going to outlive that stigma of 28-3 until they win the Super Bowl. No playoffs, none of that. Winning season, none of that. Super Bowl or leave town. Thank you.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate the call. Man, you know, the Matt Ryan conversation is so interesting because I think right now he's probably close to the Hall of Fame, but if he plays another 3 to 5 years, and who knows, the way quarterbacks these days are going, Brees and Brady, he's probably going to play into his 40s, 42, 43 if he wants to. I think he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. And I know he's made his mistakes. He's thrown his interceptions. He's had his turnovers. It's just fascinating to me that to some people, Matt Ryan doesn't do enough. But if we're looking at the team, and even if we're looking at the city of Atlanta, Matt Ryan's one of the most 5 indispensable players in all of Atlanta sports. We'll get into this a little later in the show. But, I mean, Ronald Acuna, Trey Young, Joseph Martinez, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. Probably your 5 most indispensable players. So if you're really down on Matt Ryan, I mean, look, do I wish he was Brees? Do I wish he was Brady, Rodgers, Russell Wilson? Yeah, those guys got rings. But you could do a heck of a lot worse, far worse than Matt Ryan. I mean, Matt Ryan is going to pass John Elway on all-time passing yards in one game coming up this year, tomorrow. I think he needs like 20-some yards. It's a very low number, and he's going to eclipse John Elway. I think that says a lot. 404-741-0929. Okay, we'll get back to some Falcons later in the 6 o'clock hour with your calls. Also, we're going to get to some dogs and college football in the SEC coming up in just about 12 minutes. But we'll wrap up the Falcons conversation here because I looked at the NFL, and I broke down 4 tiers. There are 4 tiers of franchises in the league right now. Number 1, the top tier, you're competing for championships. That would be like the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the 49ers. You know those teams. The second tier is building towards something, coming off of a really good year last year, maybe unexpected. The Tennessee Titans, perfect example, reached the AFC Championship. Nobody saw it coming. I don't know if they'll get back there again this year, but they're building towards something. The third category is a team that's stuck in purgatory. And then the fourth would be a dumpster fire. Dumpster fire being the Redskins, the Jets, you know, the typical teams that we always point out. But going back to the third tier, stuck in purgatory, I think that's kind of the perfect spot where the Falcons are. Because when you're 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, it's kind of a lot like the NBA. Now, I get it. When you're 8-8 or 9-7, you can make a run as a wild card, get to a Super Bowl. In the NBA as an 8 seed, you're usually not going to get to the NBA Finals. A lot of chalk, a lot of favorites. But you just don't want to be stuck in this middle ground of underachieving, yet feeling like you're just a tad bit away from really being one of those teams that are building towards something, because then you're picking 14th or 15th or 16th in the draft, and you can't really get that game changer at the top. You know, you're not going to be able to get the elite quarterback unless you trade up or unless you find a hidden gem. You know, the Ben Roethlisbergers of the world, the guys that kind of slip and fall from small schools. You know, Tom Brady, pick 199. Those things don't happen too often. So you just hope that the Falcons can get out of the spot that they're in, which is kind of in that middle of the road area. Now, my producer, Dylan Matthews, he thinks Falcons are going 10-6, double-digit wins, which we would all believe get you into the playoffs, considering now seven teams will make it from the NFC. So let me bring you back in here, Dylan, because I'm looking at this. Now, I'm on the outside looking in Falcons. I think the Falcons are 8-8. They miss out on the wild card. You think they're going to make it. So I'm going to give you eight teams. I need you to take out two to put the Falcons in as the seventh seed. So you got Dallas and Philly in the east, Green Bay and Minnesota in the north, the Saints and the Bucks in the south, the 49ers and the Seahawks in the west. Two of those teams need to be out for the Falcons to get in as at least the seventh seed. Who are you taking out?
All right, this is almost pretty easy, but I will say this. I'm taking out Dallas. Dallas hasn't proved anything to me yet, and if you really want to stay real with it, Dallas is a lot like the Falcons. So much talent, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, great running back, great offensive line, top five offensive line. You bring in Amari Cooper. You have talent around you. You got a good young defense now, especially with Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. So you got pieces. But they haven't proven anything yet. They couldn't beat a Philadelphia Eagles team whose top receiver was Greg Ward. Carson Wentz was throwing to who knows what out there. He was throwing to practice squad players. So if Dallas can't get past that Philly team, I'm not giving them any credit to get past us. So I'll take Dallas out. And the second team to take out is a hard one because I'm not sure. But if I had to choose one, I'm going to choose the Green Bay Packers. Why? Because I think there's a little tension now in Green Bay. It all seemed like rainbows and cupcakes and all that when Matt LaFleur came in and they ran off to the NFC Championship last year with no help. But now that they know Aaron Rodgers needs help, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers needs help, and they didn't get it and they got his understudy, I think there's going to be a little bit of tension there, and I think that's going to get in the way more this season than people think. So if I got to take out two teams, I'm taking out Dallas and I'm taking out Green Bay.
Dylan, I pray to God you are correct on the Cowboys, because there's nobody on God's green earth that hates and despises the Dallas Cowboys more than this guy right here. Born and raised in Pennsylvania, I can't stomach the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully you are correct. All right, coming up, hour number two here on the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll stay with the football, but we'll flip from Sunday to Saturday. Is the SEC down? Is the Southeastern Conference down in 2020? That is the question. And will that actually help the Georgia Bulldogs? I'll explain coming up next as we kick off hour number two of the show. Great to have you in here on a Saturday in the A. It's the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.